I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Dr. Carl Fekencher, professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, invites you to prayerfully consider October 10th through the 12th. For more information, call 1-800-481-2155 or visit ctsfw.edu.
Lord, deliver us from governing by crisis.
One night, I just woke up and it went, killing Jesus. And I believe, because I'm a Catholic, that comes from the Holy Spirit.
Going up to the Spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go when I die.
The American church just doesn't get what's happening to Christians in the rest of the world.
I think that in worship, people learn to speak Christian. And I'm concerned that we are losing the ability to speak Christian in our culture because too much of the worship either imitates the culture or sounds like the culture.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steel worker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
Well, this is just my opinion, but I think probably next to the phrase mission accomplished, made famous by former President George W. Bush, the term Arab Spring has to be one of the most overly optimistic statements, political labels, ever made. We are actually 3 years into the Arab Spring, and where it has sprung, democracy seems to be constantly on the ropes. We were told, or at least it was implied, that this would bring democracy to countries dominated by Islam and that we would have democratic rule and religious freedom, and none of that has turned out to be the case. So 3 years into the Arab Spring, what is becoming of democracy in countries where Islam is in political control? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will join us for the first few minutes of the second hour. We'll talk about Islam and democracy. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker joins us from Law and Gospel. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with him in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah taken up into heaven. A famous story. There's a lot there pointing us straight forward to Jesus Christ. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is a regular guest. He's professor emeritus of sociology at Illinois College, and he has authored the book The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam, and The Triumph of the West. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thank you for having me again.
Here's the lead, and then I'll give you the headline. The lead is almost 3 years into the Arab Spring revolts. Profound uncertainties remain about a move to democracy. The headline is Arab World Searches for Democratic Future. What's your first reaction when you read headlines like this?
My first reaction is when it says Arab World Searches for a Democratic Future. In other words, is it really searching for a democratic future? Is it the opinion of Western journalists who make up those particular headlines? I kind of think it is. I'm not sure, given the centuries of culture with Islamic control and influence, that there is a great deal of desire to have a democratic future as democracy is known in the Western world.
So is it that democracy is more than just popular votes or open votes or free elections? Or is there something more profoundly contradictory between democracy, even at that level, that kind of surface level, and Islam itself?
Well, democracy obviously clashes, even on the most minimal form, with Islamic theology. When you read the Quran and the Hadith, for example, you cannot, even by reading between the lines, get any impression that either one of them is in favor of democracy. And so basically, it's a Western dream in many ways. And there may be some people, maybe some of the more educated in the Arab world, that would like democracy. But for the most part, the culture of Islam has been so deeply absorbed for centuries that any kind of democratic influence or effort will not succeed. And we also tend, and I think, again, journalists are as much at fault as this as anyone else, fail to forget that democracy in the Western world did not happen overnight. If you go back to the signing of the Magna Carta in 1215, it took centuries for democracy finally to become institutionalized and become a part of the Western culture, primarily of the British-speaking or English-speaking people. And we, I think, tend to think that democracy can be brought about in a quick, overnight situation almost. It just doesn't make sense with anything that we know of in history, even in the Western world, as I said. It took centuries for democracy to flourish. And even in this country, a little over 200 years ago, we still try to improve on democracy that was created and founded in England. And you might also argue that even there, among people, there's often perhaps a deep desire not to have a democracy, or maybe a conflict within the mind. For example, in our country, when we have voter fraud, and the people that engage in this, sometimes political parties themselves, are they really in favor of democracy when they do that? Of course not. They're basically interested in power and using democracy sort of as a mirage or a camouflage for their methods. So you might argue that deep down inside, a lot of people don't even want democracy. On the other hand, perhaps they do. Maybe that's a dilemma in the minds of most people, but it seems for the most part that democracy and desire for freedom does not get the upper hand very easily, and sometimes not at all.
Some would point to the bygone days of a country like Turkey that has a majority Islamic population and yet, at least for a time, appeared to have a Western-style democracy. What are your thoughts there?
Well, even in Turkey, it is diminishing. It is considerably less today in Turkey than it was 20 years ago. And so even there, again, you see democracy is not flourishing. In fact, there is a lot of indication that the Islamic mindset will take over with the present Prime Minister Erdogan, for example. He's not known as his predecessors were. And so even there, one cannot place a great deal of hope for democracy flourishing.
What form of government is, I'm trying to phrase this carefully, what form of government fits best with Islam as a worldview? Not is best, but what one actually fits best?
Probably, to use an old phrase, a benevolent dictator. I think that would probably be function best. And to some extent, you had a little bit of that, I think, with the predecessor of Mohamed Morsi, for example, who was ousted just only 2 years ago. That probably would be the one that I would think of, a benevolent dictatorship.
Would it be, in his case, a benevolent dictatorship where Islam is obviously in the majority, but other religions are at least uncomfortably tolerated? I'm thinking about the plight of Christians there in Egypt.
Yes, I think a benevolent dictator probably would give other religious groups, like in Egypt, for example, primarily the Coptic Christians, more freedom than they presently have and maybe what they had, again, 20, 30 years ago.
Why, theologically, can't Islam bear the weight of Western-style democracy? What's the theological principle at work?
Well, there are so many factors that is despised by Islam, what the West has. In fact, the Muslim Brotherhood that was in power until the army or military cracked down on Morsi, basically its plank has always been, for example, it has five parts of its slogan, as I remember. It says, Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, the jihad is our way, and dying in the path of Allah is our highest hope. And that means, for example, that Western freedom, Western principles are despised. In fact, that's one of its planks. Islam, as well as the Muslim Brotherhood, Western society is despised because it gives freedom, for example, to women. It gives people freedom to choose a lot of things in society that are dictated by Islamic law that they may not or should not have. And so you have a basic conflict. The Quran spells it out, again, as I said a little while ago. The Quran doesn't in any way intimate that democracy is something desirable.
How much does Sharia law, the insistence, really Islam's insistence on Sharia law, in every phase, every aspect, every avenue of life, play into the failure of democracy in Islam?
Oh, very much. Once you have Sharia law, and this is exactly what Muslims advocate and what the Muslim Brotherhood advocated, is opposed to any kind of freedom that is commonly understood and accepted in the West. And that, again, is very difficult, I think, for journalists to understand, and hence we see headlines that we saw in the paper yesterday, thinking that, well, in many ways, they're, I might say, ill-informed in terms of how democracy has to evolve. It cannot be introduced overnight. And secondly, that it has to have a culture that's compatible with democracy. And the Islamic culture does not make it compatible with any form of democracy. Sharia law, as you said, dominates. And Sharia law has no room for freedom of choice and freedom of liberty and movement and thought and similarities to it.
With only about 30 seconds here, Dr. Schmidt, what would you say, how would you respond to someone who says, well, we just haven't gotten the right mix yet of Sharia law with democracy, accommodating Sharia in a Western democracy as possible. We just haven't found the right combination of the two. About 30 seconds.
That's an interesting phrase. Immediately you have to ask what ingredients should be in that mix. Just to use it as an abstract phrase really doesn't add a lot of information. It's not very helpful. And I might also add, the very term Arab Spring is a Western creation. You don't see that coming out of the Islamic society.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College. He's authored the book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Schmidt, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
When we come back, we'll be teaching the Sunday school lesson, Elijah Taken Up into Heaven. Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoota, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.